Olin Krutz, Score football analyst.
Bias towards offensive line. By that I mean find you an excuse of why an offensive lineman missed the block or why their job is hard.
Chicago Bears legend, six-time Pro Bowl center.
You talk about one of the greatest leaders I've ever been around. From football to the weight room to life, now he's in radio and he has the same passion.
Olin Krutz, every week with Mully and Haw. He probably doesn't like you, but he loves to talk Bears with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Every day is Christmas when we have Olin on, but my God, do we have cold in our stocking this morning. Olin Krutz joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Good morning, Olin. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was thinking why you said that. Not this morning, right?
Yeah.
This morning,
not today.
Not today.
Not today.
Rewatching that game, guys, man, you go through all the emotions again of it being so bad for so long, but the defense hanging in there, right? Keeping the Bears in the game by being so stout against the number one red zone offense in the NFL. And then the comeback, Caleb Williams. I was thinking when I was watching, we talked about it last night, I was thinking Ryan Poles. He was going to be a prophet, right? He was saying that he had to lean on his teammates and then do the special when it was time to do the special. And you guys remember that throw to DeAndre Carter when DJ Moore got hurt. That was a special throw there, right? Before the
sidearm
they tried
throw.
A sidearm throw. It was really special, man. It's just – and you go through the emotion of, man, they're going to win this game. And then how do you lose on that Hail Mary? And just a failure of discipline and execution. And I heard – David put it really well this morning, saying you have to learn how to win in the NFL. You have to learn exactly what that means and exactly paying attention to details during the week when you're walking through. I think someone said Coach Eberflus talked about we walked through that play 1,000 times. He's not lying, guys. I've seen it before. I've watched Hail Marys be walked through. Your job, this is what you do, box them out. This guy has the jumper. This guy's the savior. This guy has the front. So it was just, man, it was just hard to watch. Even again, this morning, going through the game really quickly, just tough to watch them. It's such a gritty performance. I mean, on Keenan Allen's a pass interference, guys, there, I think it was 4th-and-3. Karan and Doug Kramer are one-on-one, right? They're in a one-on-one pass rush situation there, and they both win. And they both win, and it just – to see guys play that gutty, that kind of performance, that team fight that long, and then lose that game, as frustrating as it was, it was even more frustrating to watch this morning, that final play.
On the Hail Mary, everyone does have a role to play. I don't think one of those roles includes taunting the crowd with your back to the line of scrimmage when the ball is snapped. Tyreek Stevenson did that. If you're a veteran, if you're a captain in that locker room, on that team, Olin, how would you handle this situation?
It's a really good question, right? And I think that we all know how I would have handled this situation, on the airplane or in the locker room. But they have leaders on that team, right? And here's the thing that I immediately think about, guys, when I think about what should happen. What should they do? What should have happened? It should have happened weeks ago, right? The question I would ask Coach Eberflus is, Coach, have we seen any of this before? Have we allowed this kind of behavior for weeks, for months, and then it led to this? Because I see the same guy poking guys in the face, right? I see the same guy doing that. And I think to myself, man, what has he done that you allowed for so long that has led up to the fact that on a Hail Mary play, he's not facing the line of scrimmage? And I know he came out on Twitter and he apologized to everybody for his actions. But my thought immediately when I see something like that, guys, is something's been going on for a while that you haven't nipped in the bud. And you haven't taken care of. And I'm just guessing. And to me, really, the punishment should fit that. Is this the first time? Is he a pro every day? Does he work hard? Because, look, he does even make a good play in this game. He's a good football player against Zach Ertz, right? I think it was third down in the end zone, and he pushes the ball out. Good football play. Tyreek Stevenson is a good football player. And you give a little more leeway to a guy who can play the game. But if this has been going on for a while, if he's been late to meetings, if I had to talk to him too many times, and now this happened, then the punishment has to fit the crime.
It's a great point, Olin. I thought the takeaway you had yesterday, when you watch Caleb Williams play not a very good football game, but then he gets to the fourth quarter, and as you say, time to do the special. And the guy leads you to a touchdown with 30 seconds left, despite one of the worst calls I've seen on third down, third and five, and they do a quarterback draw, and he gets clobbered. Then he comes back on fourth and three. You get the pass interference penalty. Then you finally score the touchdown. To lose that moment for that kid in his homecoming, all the rest of it, that's one of the sickest things that came out of the end of that game.
Yes, and you know, like you're talking about, we talked about going to the game, going home, would he feel some of the nerves, right? It sure looked like it, right? He missed a lot of balls early on. Remember the slide on 32, right? Lule could have got the first down in the first quarter, and he slid on 32. Just not a good game by Caleb. I thought they should have took him out of that checking. He was going one-on-one with Bobby Wagner, who's about 52 years old. So he knows what you're saying out there on the football field. But, you know, I know what they're thinking there, right? They're thinking we're gonna go for it for two downs anyway. So I think that was a sweep to Caleb Williams down there. And then the fourth and three. And you're right. I didn't like that call either. But when you're talking about what do you take out of this game, right? What do you take out of the positive out of this game, the game that you lost? It's that you had a quarterback making plays, making throws, leading you down the field, laying the game, doing the special. And guys, go through all the games because I did it today. And I'm not going to bore the listeners. But he's done it a lot now. He did it against the Titans. At the end of the first half, he got a field goal. Against Houston, at the end of the first half, he got a field goal. He let him down late in the game. He got a touchdown, right? Against Indy, he let him down. He got a touchdown. The defense didn't get him the ball back. He got a field goal at the end of halves, guys. At the end of games, if you go through every one of the Bears games, Caleb Williams is doing the things we talk about that quarterbacks have to do to win football games. He's elevating his teammates. They talk about him being a multiplier. Guys, look at the offensive line he had on the field at the end of that football game against Washington. DJ Moore is hurt on the sideline. I just told you about how he threw the ball to DeAndre Carter. He against the Panthers with 55 seconds left, five plays, 65 yards, a touchdown in the first half, right? Against the Jaguars, same thing, touchdown, first half. Against the Washington, he brings him down at the end of the game. He scores. And you guys, you go through every game at the critical moments. We talk about 2-for-1. You got to score at the end of halves, and you got to score at the end of the game. And that falls on a quarterback and his arm and his ability to make plays in the pocket. I'm telling you guys, if you go through the games again, if you go through all of the Chicago Bears games, every game he's made a play in those situations, he's had drives to score points. So the Chicago Bears, if you're talking about what do you take positive out of this football game, if you go back and look at what they've done, at what Caleb Williams has done, at what Ryan Pose is called, doing the special, guys, they have that going on right now. They got to get that Hail Mary fixed, and they got to get it fixed during the game. We got to start a little earlier. We got to score points. We got to get the ball moving. Can't let them move the ball up and down the field, even though you kept them out of the end zone. But if you're talking about what we've been talking about for years around here, that we need a quarterback in critical situations to make plays, this guy Caleb Williams now, he has done that to start this season.
This segment with Olin Krutz, sponsored by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. Visit online or their Elmhurst and Lyle showrooms. Well, a special quarterback needs a competent play caller, and I'm not sure he has one of those after yesterday, Olin. It might be time to reconvene the leadership council because Shane Waldron needs an intervention. Yesterday, handing the ball to Doug Kramer was inexcusable, and I don't know how you respond to that. I don't know if you take away play calling duties. I don't know if you're Eberflus what you do now, but I just think there's no confidence in Shane Waldron. The Colts example, speed option on fourth and goal, you lose 12. Now yesterday, in big moments, he is cowering, or he's being too cute. He's not getting it done. What would you do about the offensive play caller?
Yeah, and that Colts example, right, is another example of Caleb Williams in a critical situation, putting together a great drive. What do I do with the play caller? David, I know what you're saying. In critical situations, man, that head coach is on the headset too, right? He hears the play get called. You have to step in there and say, no. Let's get the ball to Roschon Johnson behind Darnell Wright, who I thought played a good football game, who also made a big-time block to take the lead. Right now, I wouldn't overreact. I understand what you're saying. I know Shane Waldron has had some moments this year, man. We're talking about the handoff to Doug Kramer. You talked about the option, talked about the run. We've said many a times, there are less elite play callers in the NFL than there are elite quarterbacks. They are hard to find. I don't think Shane Waldron has got his play calling sheet taken away yet, David. Not yet. But there is some frustrating calls in there right now. Coach Eberflus has to be the leader they pay him to be. And he's got to step in. He's got to get that Hail Mary corrected. He's got to get some of his play calling corrected. This team, all of them, everybody in that building, from the top to the bottom. I talked about it too much. It's learning how to win football games. We talked about on the pre and post game show yesterday that I became a worse football player when I learned how to win football games, right? Because I got older. But I knew how important walkthroughs were. I knew how important the details were in critical situations. I knew that sometimes I could go to Ron Turner, Harry Heistand, Mike Martz, Mike Tice, John Shoup. I knew I could go to them sometimes and say, that handoff to Doug Kramer. Let's talk about that a little bit. When do we plan to use that play right there? Because this is not a good play call right now. There's a lot there. They're talking about details, right? The handoff was quick. You heard Tony Romo talk about how Caleb's got to stay there. Now, look. It goes through all of it, right? That situation, don't even put them in that situation. But if they do, if they say, we trust this quarterback, we trust this player, everybody's getting paid on this football field, execute the handoff, get the ball in the end zone. It just goes through everybody doing those things. But I wouldn't take away his play calling duties just yet. You don't want that young quarterback going through that situation right now.
And I think it's difficult to maintain any perspective on this stuff this morning because they had won three games in a row, right? And they were a hair away from making it a four-game winning streak, which is hard to do in the NFL. And instead, they find a way to lose that game. And again, they found a way to win it. It wasn't a game they really earned, but they were leading. And then you lose in this heartbreaking fashion. And it's almost like you're a punchline around the league. Like you look at everybody.
This morning?
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
no
absolutely.
No question about it.
Yeah.
You know, as you said yesterday, you can't let that loss have you go to Arizona and lose again. And they got to figure out a way to win on the road. And they need to be as focused in this game as they're going to be, especially if anything's wrong with Montez Sweat, if their offensive line is as beaten up as it is. Mm-hmm. It's frightening stuff. It's a real key point in the season.
Yeah, they come out of that game beat up, right? Tevin Jenkins, Braxton Jones, Montez Sweat. They already were missing Kyler Gordon. They are missing Jaquan Brisker. Those are a lot of guys, a lot of high-level football players to miss, right, and then fly across to Arizona. We know that's a hard flight. There's a time change. Although the Bears fans do travel to Arizona, you can turn that field into a home game for yourself. If you get there, you jump on them early, and you can get a good win. Kyler Murray, it's going to be a fun game to watch him versus Caleb Williams. But like you're saying, and I talked about yesterday on the post-game show, my two boys play for Illinois. They got beat up pretty bad by Oregon. And I thought Coach Bielema said a great thing after the game. He said, we can't let Oregon beat us twice. And that's exactly what the Bears are going through right now, Molly, after a loss like that, right? After those emotions. But immediately, you think about, okay, well, how do we get this thing turned around, put on the tracks, moving in the right direction? Tyreek Stevenson, I thought, took a step. I thought he took a step by apologizing to his fans, apologizing to everybody, taking the blame. And look, I'd like to see the guy who was supposed to be the savior take the blame and say, I was supposed to do that. Right. I was coached to do it, and I didn't. Guys got to stand up. Leaders got to stand up. I remember sometimes guys being in the locker room. We get stopped on 4th-and-1. I didn't miss my block. Guess what I said? That 4th-and-1 was my fault. I got to make my block. I got to do my job there. And that's just telling everybody, this is the attitude we take. Don't point fingers. Don't try to decide on what you're going to do and what you're not going to do and whose fault it was. Just worry about what the hell you got to correct. Get what you got to get corrected. And then as the week inches on, guys, Wednesday, Thursday, you start to whisper to everybody, how about our quarterback, man? How about the plays he makes late in games, right? How about our defense in the red zone holding on versus the number one red zone offense? How about all the good things we did do after you let the loss marinate for a little while? You start to point out how good of a football team you are. We still have a winning record. We're still right where we need to be. And more importantly, like I told you guys, We have a quarterback doing special things at the end and at the end of halves and at the end of games. And that guys, like you know, is critical to winning in the NFL.
That's a great perspective. It really is. And I think that's the right way the Bears have to approach today and the rest of the week, Olin, especially with the long trip ahead. I want to ask you about the offensive line. We've had to see Karan Amagaji forced into action, and he was overmatched on certain plays. I wondered what you saw in terms of how they might have been able to help him or what they do now moving forward, depending on Braxton Jones's injury, and also address the uncomfortable situation they might be in and having to appeal to Nate Davis now that they need him to play, get over whatever is keeping him back, and be a professional.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a crazy business, man. Sometimes you walk in there and no one's talking to you, and all of a sudden they need you and they're friendly again. In the morning, right? But there's just not a lot of good offensive line, especially when you start to lose guys. And if I always tell people, there's not a lot of guys who block people. As far as Karan goes, struggled with his kick step a little bit yesterday. By that I mean getting back off the line of scrimmage, pushing through his right leg. Looked like he was kind of shoveling his left foot under him. I don't want to get into this all this technique stuff for offensive line play, but he struggled like you thought a guy might, who came off an injury to get in the game. He did have that big block on Swift's run, did a nice job in the run game. I will say this, you do see why they drafted him. You do see the length, you do see the height, and you do see the size, and you do see the power that he puts on film. And he did win some of his pass roles, not against, you know, the Commanders don't have any elite pass rushers, but, you know, to put Doug Kramer in there at left guard, you know, you've gone through your injuries, and that's where Nate Davis not doing the things he's supposed to be doing, right? We're talking about Tyreek Stevenson. What should they do with him? Well, same thing with Nate Davis, right? They have a few guys in there not doing what they're supposed to be doing. He should have a jersey on. He should be up. He should be in the game right away when you have those kind of injuries and you see Murray walk out there. You know, Tevin Jenkins got hurt on the fourth and was it the third and one? No, on Doug Kramer's play by the end zone, he got hurt. He got bent over backwards. And then Braxton Jones actually got hurt on the fourth and one that DJ Moore didn't get. So those plays, not only bad play calls, maybe, you lose two offensive linemen on those plays too. So Larry Borum, hopefully he's getting healthy. Bates, hopefully he's getting healthy. Hopefully you get those guys in the mix and then find yourself an offensive line that you can take on the road and win a football game. Because I'll be honest with you, you start to lose guys. Any team loses guys on their offensive line. It's hard to find.
You talked yesterday, and I thought it was just an excellent point, the idea that when we talk about winning on the road, it's a lot of small things. It's a lot of the little details that you have to get right. And you wondered if there are veteran players that are doing the things that you would do in terms of if you see a guy that isn't paying attention or is kind of goofing around in a walkthrough, hey, what were you told to do on that play? Are you listening to what? I hope that that's going on. And that's the thing that you worry about when you think of a guy like Tyreek Stevenson.
Mm-hmm. It's a great point. And it's something I also had to learn. And I don't think I really learned it into my eighth or ninth year in the NFL, just how to win games and how to lead in those situations. I remember Harry Hiestand telling me one time, you guys all know Harry Hiestand, probably the best offensive line coach in the world. He told me one time, he said, Olin, you like to play around all the time and you do your job, but it affects everybody else, right? I did like to laugh and joke, and you guys knew me when I played, and really, really harassed anybody I could harass at any moment I could. But, you know, Harry pointed out to me that while I was doing that, not everybody could concentrate and do that at the same time, right? So as a leader, you start to learn those things and you start to watch guys like, you know, when they're installing a play that we might have to execute at a critical situation in the game, and you're watching to make sure guys are paying attention, taking that in. They don't look too sleepy. They're hearing the details. And then you go up, if you don't think so, you go up to them and ask them and say, hey, man, did you hear what we're talking about there? You know what to do in that situation. You know what you're doing, because those little walkthroughs there, Pat Manley had a great point, right? Only the ones get that walkthrough. Only the ones get the Hail Mary walkthrough, and they had backups in the game that day. So how many times were those guys on the field? So just a lot of things go on in that situation that is what I'm talking about. When people say, I know it sounds crazy that people talk about leadership, it's hard to define. People talk about culture, it's hard to define. People talk about the details. How do you win games? Learning how to win, it's hard to define. I'm defining it for you right now. It's Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Listening in meetings, doing all the little things right, seeing the game, how you fit in the game, what you're supposed to do in critical situations, and how you actually win football games in the NFL. It really is that simple. It's just that hard to do to pay attention every day early in the week.
This segment with Olin Krutz, sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Thank you, Olin. Great stuff.
Thanks, Olin. Good stuff.
Appreciate it, guys.
Yep.
That is Olin Krutz, and that is, I mean, there's a lot. There's a rich vein of
lot to get to.
Thing to talk about there, and we'll do so next. We'll take your calls. 312-644-6767 is the number. We've had full phone lines since we started this morning. We finally get a chance to talk to some people about it. Very heartbreaking loss for the Bears yesterday. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Comes down to one last play. And it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught!
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Do you, David, believe in miracles?
He went full Al Michaels.
He did.
Jim Nance did. Boy, I don't think that anybody wants to hear that again in Chicago, ever. Tough one to take. Tough one to accept. And the Bears, 17 seconds that play took. And there was a time when 17 seconds represented in Chicago sports the 2013 Stanley Cup title. The Blackhawks beat the Bruins, 17 seconds. But now it seems like 11 years later has a different connotation and unacceptable, unforgettable, inexcusable. All of the above.
Fair enough. 312-644-6767. We've been waiting to talk to people all day, and we've had full phone lines since we turned
up.
We
need to let them vent.
And finally, we get to talk people off the ledge. We'll start with Perry, who is listening on the Odyssey app.
Because hey, we're so calm.
Oh, yeah. We're taking it well.
Good morning. Hey, I'm going to make a bunch of bullet points. Okay. First off, this kind of loss here could set a team back, especially a team that's not well coached. So my thought is, if they lose next week, or if they end up being 500 or below 500, Eberflus is gone. It just reinstates that he's a defensive coordinator, not a head coach. Let's go to polls. This offensive line, he owns it. Shame on him. There's no excusing it. He should know better. Third thing, play calling. It's one thing to have bad play calls throughout the game, but bad play calls at critical times is another. So that's another sore eye here, black eye. Now let's get to Stevenson. There's no excusing it. That BS apology, he's got to be benched. If you don't bench him and hold him accountable, same old, same old. Now let's get to, I hate to say it, let's get to Caleb. My problem with him is you can't have three bad quarters and one good quarter. He's too talented to be this bad early on. The very beginning of the game, that sideline pass over Moore's head into the stands, that was God awful with no pressure. Then that third down run, the guy with the broken ribs would have ran for the first down. That's my problem with that. So hopefully he corrects it, but these things have got to be handled properly. And the guy's got talent. I just hope he gets it together. Thanks.
Perry, those are great bullet points. A good summation of things that bothered you throughout the course of the day. My first reaction to the Caleb Williams stopping short of the chains and not getting the first down, it looked like he just didn't remember where the first down marker was. And he did have three bad quarters, but he did redeem himself quite well with a strong fourth, Mully. I don't come out of yesterday worried about Caleb Williams as my biggest takeaway.
I think that the very fact that he came down and got the Bears the lead, directed a touchdown drive with 30 seconds left, whatever it was, in the final minute of the game, he got the Bears into the end zone, and they had the lead in the game. I think that speaks volumes about his capability and his. And Olin kind of ran through a list of games where he
end of halves, helped. End of games.
Yes,
fourth quarter clutch, that's drives.
That's what it's all about.
He persevered.
That is the special. So we did see
true.
That. Unfortunately, that last play kind of robbed him of any of the glory of that. And, you know, I'd love to be able to sit here and say they won despite this, despite that. And we could make a list, as he just did, of the things that are concerning. And as long as you win, then you can have fun going over that and you can be critical. But unfortunately, by virtue of a loss, it erases whatever good was done.
That's why when the Bears win in unimpressive fashion, I always believe that it's still better than to win that way than to lose any other way, because you'll take that. You would have taken an ugly victory yesterday because of what it would have meant to this season. Four straight victories. Can you imagine the difference in rhetoric and feelings in Chicago this morning if the Bears had survived that game and found a way to hold on instead of squandering it? You know, the Tyrique Stevenson thing, he was uninvolved. He was distracted. He was taunting for four of those 17 seconds.
Oh, yeah. No.
Think about
it,
that.
It was Starlin Castro. He had his back to home plate.
I mean, to remember a Cub.
Yeah.
A Cubby occurrence.
No, I just remember Bobby Valentine pointed out. Dustin, I'm sure it's very fresh in his memory. Speaking of Tyrique Stevenson, let me just read you this.
Okay.
This is him on Twitter.
Oh, boy.
And he says, to Chicago and teammates, my apologies for lack of awareness and focus. The game ain't over until zero hit the clock. Can't take anything for granted. Notes taken. Improvement will happen. Hashtag bear down.
Save your hashtags. Save your social media apology. I heard the hashtag.
Bear down.
If you can hear a hashtag, I heard it. Okay. All right. I don't want an apology. I want your intensity. I want your focus. And I don't want to see you Sunday because I would bench you. You're going to be a healthy scratch. You're going to pay because these things have to be
You're
going to
bench
with.
Him for the game against Kyler Murray?
Yes.
Bear down.
Okay. Bear down. I'll go with guys who will pay attention during the most important play of the season.
What about his saying, notes taken?
I don't care about notes taken. Who wrote that for him? He had nothing to say at his locker after the game. Then I might have been impressed.
You know what?
Save it.
I just wonder if he thought, like, no one saw that. There's no chance that's going to get out.
It was a miracle. Everyone saw it. Did you hear Jim Nance?
They had the camera just on him. It was like, oh
my
gosh. God.
It was like, yeah. And we're replaying it like it's the Zapruder film, frame by frame.
It's so bad. You know exactly where he was when it happened. Kevin's in St. Charles. Hey, Kevin.
Wow. Molly and Haw. Good morning. Good Bears mornings and bad.
What's up, Kevin?
How are you guys?
Good, buddy. What do you got?
Let's go.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, we can hear you.
Yeah. Thanks for the therapy session. I feel like you guys are Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg and the other guys, and I'm the guy at the top of the seventh floor or whatever that was in that scene, and I'm debating what's going on here. I think today is a firm reflection of humility. I think Tyrique Stevenson can use some of it, and I know I could, because just when that's the NFL, man, right when you're on top, it finds a way to bring you back down, to bring you back to reality. And it's unfortunate, man. The key points I got are, a lot of people are upset with so many aspects of the game, and rightfully so. Caleb Williams was my shining light. He looked like week one and week two through three quarters, but up to 20 seconds into the game, or to end the game, he got us the lead. And not just the lead, mm-hmm. He executed a two-point play to give us a three-point lead. So you felt good no matter what happened after that two-point play. You were either going into overtime or you're winning this game. And that was excellent on his behalf. So he's the shining light. The downside is just unacceptable on everything that Tyrique did. Not on him alone. Why, when there's 6 seconds left, you give up an extra 10 yards, you're not protecting the flats.
That was bad.
That was terrible.
Good call there, Kevin.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin.
Good to point that one out.
And, you know, let's be careful of blaming the loss on Tyrique Stevenson.
Yeah, let's be careful there. I agree with you.
I mean,
this was a coaching loss.
This was bad. That was a bad moment.
Yes.
And so was the selfish penalty he got when he tried to poke the guy.
And so
was
getting beat for a 61-yard pass.
Okay.
I mean, not good.
I'm not going to tell you that he gets a passing grade for that game. But Olin is right. He did that. I thought that was a touchdown, frankly, by Ertz. And he kept his
nice
hand
play.
In there.
Fine.
That was a nice
play. But he had a bad day.
He did.
You know what, though?
Day.
Matt Eberflus had a worse one. You know what?
Yeah.
Shane Waldron had an even worse one.
Shane Waldron had the worst
one. Yes. So, Shane Waldron advice. Yeah. We just gave Tyrique Stevenson advice.
Yeah.
Shane Waldron advice. Unplug the mini fridge. No more handoffs to backup linemen. I don't care if he's a good blocker. Yeah. That has run its course. Take that page out of the playbook.
You can use him as a blocker. That's part of their identity.
Fine.
That changed the way they were running the football. I'm not down on that. But, you know, and no offense, but you were one of the people who were like, oh, I wonder if you could catch a pass. I wonder if you could. I mean, that went through my head, my friend.
Okay, I did say that. Listen. I did say that, and I could even understand that. When you're up 17
to 10,
when you're leading by 10 points.
When the game's in the bag.
Have fun. Show something that people have to worry about. When you are down on the road.
When you can't score a whole bloody game.
Hostile environment. You have one touchdown, and you want another one. You need another one. It's the fourth quarter of a game on the road against a playoff team.
Just dumb.
Oh, that's
one of the dumbest calls in the history of sports. I'm not joking.
It's one of the dumbest calls in the history of the Bears.
Well, I texted. Yes. We were texting back and forth, and I texted that that's the worst call in Bears history.
Unfortunately, we have so many others to compare it to.
At that moment, it felt that way.
Yeah, actually, after a night's sleep. It feels that way.
Who slept? I just was.
It's
got to
be top five.
Ceiling.
It's got to be top five.
It was awful.
It's dumber than anything you saw from Gary Croton, John Shoup, Mike Martz, Terry Shea, Ron Turner.
Whoa, Terry Shea,
Mike Tice.
Wow.
Yes.
There's been some
Luke
bad Getsy. Calls.
Luke, there's been some dumb calls. The Bears' offense, that history is littered with dumb calls and bad play callers. Yesterday, just the latest example. Shane Waldron's having a bad season.
Yeah.
And, you know, Olin made a good point.
He had a comeback, and you thought it was okay, and then this happened.
But let's also be very clear here. Yeah. Olin had a good point when I'm all over the Shane Waldron and criticizing him. He's like, hey, the head coach reserves right to veto every play.
He's on the headset. That's right.
He hears that call. They had time to think about it.
And he probably secretly pumped a fist.
You think the logic of that call with the game on the line to give it to an offensive lineman, that you're on board with that?
It's a one-yard play.
Wrong answer.
It's a one-yard play.
Wrong answer.
Yeah. So you may as well hand the ball to a guy that doesn't carry it for a little.
You're 36 inches away from scoring a touchdown that will give you a victory that you can then you have more time.
I know.
How do you defend that?
I understand.
You should have given it to Cairo Santos.
Yeah, why didn't you run him?
One yard?
Just 1 yard.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a one-yard play. That was one of the worst answers of the year.
Yeah, that was not good.
It's a one-yard play.
So much goodwill squandered.
There's a lot of goodwill that was lost.
So much opportunity lost.
With one terrible finish to the game. And I guess, and I do feel like the Bears are a laughing stock. I feel like it's a national laughing stock.
How many times have we watched in these replay shows and highlight shows this morning, the Hail Mary? They're going to see it 17 more times before 9 o'clock.
Help. 312-644-6767. We'll be back with your calls. Mully and Haw on the score.
Oh, boy.
I thought it was going to be a little short. Actually, did end up being a little short, but the tip and the pushing it back. So, believed in my guys. Believe my guys are going to do it again. Forever in that situation, probably will be. These games always come down to one score. And so, we're in that situation again. I believe my guys once again. But definitely thought we were going to get it. Emotion-wise, that was kind of my emotion. I was still... still believing, still, happy in the moment. And then obviously, he gets tipped and then he catches it. And then obviously frustration because I could have played better. We could have played better on offense throughout the whole game to put ourselves in better position. And we will.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of the man who always seems to say the right thing.
He does, doesn't
Caleb
he?
Caleb Williams,
he
outstanding.
Does. Very
David.
Good poise.
Yeah.
Molly, how about the cruel irony that in 2018, Caleb Williams was celebrated for doing what he watched Jaden Daniels do yesterday. He was in a championship game with Gonzaga in high school. He was down to 10 seconds to go in the game. I think he completed a pass, and there were 4 seconds left, and he had a 53-yard Hail Mary that won that game. They even showed the clip on the CBS broadcast.
Yeah.
And then Caleb Williams left to watch Jaden Daniels do what he remembered doing, I'm sure, as a high school sophomore. But that just even makes it hurt even more. Because if you're Caleb Williams, you're like, oh, God, I know how that feels.
Yeah, his homecoming, that's awful.
Ruined.
Yeah, all right, let's start with Omar. Omar is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Omar.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Just a couple of points. I went to London to see the Bears play, and the same thing that's happened yesterday has happened all season. The bottom line is, they need to get more – the offense needs to be more focused and more consistent from the beginning of the game. And if we can do that, we don't always have to put ourselves in a situation where we have to hope that we have the right play to win the game. The other thing that I was going to say, too, is the coaches need to not sabotage the game like they did yesterday. That was the second worst call I've ever seen, the first being the Russell Wilson play against the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. And so – the positive side, though, is I can see major improvement at quarterback, and all Bear fans should finally, finally take a sigh. I feel like we're still a couple players away from being a very good team, but I look at the Lions, and I think we have the foundation pieces in place. So if we just have people start to focus a little bit more from week to week, I think we're headed in the right track. So I'll take your comments offline. But go Bears, and I really like the quarterback. So
thanks, Omar.
Yeah, thanks, Omar.
Do your blood pressure a favor. Don't watch the Lions.
Let me tell you something.
Just make you upset.
The as he referred to it, the Russell Wilson play in the Super Bowl. There is video evidence of the Patriots during the week of the game. Ernie Adams found that play and said they might run it in short yardage. They worked on it.
Ran the quick slant.
And they show them telling the corner, you got to cut in front of him.
Butler.
And he did it in the moment. So
The rest was history.
I don't think that's nearly as bad because they practiced that interception. They got it in the moment.
I know what you're saying. Yes, I do see what you're saying. It's a good point. I also understand where Omar's coming from. That's the example you think of when you think of how you squander an opportunity at the 1 yard line. And what are you thinking by doing what you did?
Oh, I agree 100%.
It's just a dumb example. Right. An example of a dumb play call.
That was a play that might have worked, that was sniffed out, practiced, and then worked. This was a play where you couldn't hand a bloody ball off.
Self-inflicted.
Totally self-inflicted.
This was the kind of Pete Carroll influence you didn't want on Shane Waldron.
Let's try John. John's in Joliet. Hey, John.
Good morning, guys. You know, first I'd like to know, what is the Bears' record coming out of a bye? Because it just seems like every time we come out of a bye, it's just it's a poop storm of a game. And just to watch what happened yesterday, yes, that was a sloppy football game for both teams for three quarters. And yes, Caleb did bring them back. But it just seems like, why do you have to go in emergency mode when you can just control what happens the first three quarters? And as far as Mr. Stevenson goes, very unprofessional, guys.
Right. And I agree with you, John. I got to tell you, if there was one thing that you thought the Bears would be working on during the bye week, it would be the beginning of games. And we've talked specifically about the idea that they struggle to get first downs. In the first quarter of games,
they are
3 of 15, was it 3 or 16 going into the game on third down in the first quarter?
Right.
They're bad.
So what would you do now?
Well, that means they're not getting it done on first and second down,
right?
So they're not having quick conversions, and the only chance they've had is to be able to not have a third down. That's when they scored their only first quarter touchdown. No, they didn't score a touchdown, but the only time, whatever.
To address that, I'd come out no huddle. I'd come out no huddle.
Okay.
You definitely dictate the pace. He's better at those situations. That kind of gets him going. I might come out no huddle. I would consider anything at this point, Molly. You're bad offense in the first quarter.
But how did you not improve that over the break? And they came out and they had a legal procedure penalty, and then they had an offside penalty.
They looked rusty.
They didn't look.
They looked like they were jet lagged.
They had worked on that.
Jet lagged.
They didn't look like they had solved that issue, which is they're jet lagged. You're beautiful. All right, we've got DJ. I hope he's here. We may well talk. I'm just worried he got hurt a little bit.
I know. I hope he's okay.
So we'll definitely get back to all your calls, but hopefully DJ Moore will tell us he's fine and there's no injury and everything's copacetic, and everyone on the plane, they had a little sing-song, and everyone's feeling good. That's what we're expecting.
Okay.
We'll talk to DJ Moore next. Mully and Haw on the score.